furthering scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, Editor-in-Chief. While you have a little bit of leisure time on your hands, perhaps the first thing that you want to do, if you own a Ring doorbell, is to change the password on your Wi-Fi within your house as soon as possible. And yes, there's been another security breach. This one will affect a lot of people, potentially, across America. I wrote at the top of this article, Ring says the vulnerability was fixed in September, but it did not report the problem until now. That was yesterday. Wouldn't you think Ring owners would have wanted to be notified immediately upon discovery so that they could at least change passwords on their Wi-Fi routers? Technocracy News has said many times that big tech technocrats barely treat security even as an afterthought. Getting products to market is far more important than consumer security and safety. And here is exactly what this very short report reveals. It states, a new report from security researchers alleges that Amazon Ring doorbells have exposed users' home Wi-Fi networks to hackers. TechCrunch reports that security researchers at Bitdefender have claimed that Amazon Ring doorbells were sending users' Wi-Fi passwords in clear text as the doorbell joins the home network. This would allow hackers to intercept the Wi-Fi password and gain access to the user's local network. Bitdefender stated, quote, when first configuring the device, the smartphone app must send the wireless network credentials. This takes place in an unsecure manner through an unprotected access point. Once the network is up, the app connects to it automatically, queries the device, then sends the credentials to the local network. All of this happens over an unencrypted connection that exposes the Wi-Fi password being sent over the air. The vulnerability was reported fixed by Amazon in September, but the vulnerability was only recently disclosed. A Ring spokesman provided the following statement, quote, customer trust is important to us as we take the security of our devices seriously. We rolled out an automatic security update addressing this issue, and it's since been patched. This is yet another vulnerability recently discovered in smart home devices. A team of researchers from Tokyo's University of Electrocommunications and the University of Michigan recently claimed to have discovered a way to hijack voice-enabled devices by shining a laser at the microphone of the devices. It gets pretty crazy. But you get the point. Ring camera dropped the ball on this one. I don't know how hard it would be for any skilled technical programmer to figure out that sending a password over Wi-Fi that is not encrypted is just not acceptable. That's a very crazy error that never should have happened in the first place, but it did. So, moral of that story is change your password as soon as you can, just in case. You never know. The second article has to do with Google again, and Google has been busted, in a sense, of secretly gathering health data on millions of Americans. And personally, this article is rather disturbing. I wrote at the top of this, whatever happened to patient privacy and the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, that's affectionately called HIPAA, passed by Congress in 1996. Technocrats at Google do what they want in total disregard for the law. Although Google and other technocrat big tech companies have been busted dozens of times by government bodies at all levels, they patently and routinely ignore legal, ethical, and moral restraints. Do you trust Google with 100% of your health records under its control? Do you think that Google would not use such data in other divisions of the company unrelated to healthcare? Google is engaged in one of the U.S.'s largest healthcare systems on a project to collect and crunch the detailed personal health information of millions of people across 21 states. The initiative, codenamed Project Nightingale, appears to be the biggest effort yet by a Silicon Valley giant to gain a toehold in the healthcare industry through the handling of patients' medical data. Amazon.com, Apple, and Microsoft are also aggressively pushing into healthcare, though they haven't yet struck deals of this scope. Google began Project Nightingale in secret last year with St. Louis-based Ascension, a Catholic chain of 2,600 hospitals, doctors' offices, and other facilities, with the data sharing accelerating since summer, according to internal documents. The data involved in the initiative encompasses lab results, doctor diagnosis, and hospitalization records, among other categories, and amounts to a complete health history, including patient names and dates of birth. So there you go. A secret program launched by Google in conjunction with Ascension, who owns a chain of 2,600 hospitals and doctor's offices, have transferred data to Google that includes your complete health record as well as your name and your date of birth for identification. The article continues, the tech giant is teaming with Ascension on an ambitious project to crunch patient data for treatment and administrative purposes. Neither patients nor doctors have been notified. Stop right there. Neither patients nor doctors have been notified. This is what HIPAA is all about, is it not? That the transfer of a patient's data cannot happen without their specific permission. It continues, at least 150 Google employees already have access to much of the data on tens of millions of patients, according to a person familiar with the matter and the documents. In a news release issued after Wall Street Journal reported on Project Nightingale on Monday, the company said the initiative is compliant with federal health law and includes robust protections for patient data. I'd like to see what those protections are, by the way. Some Ascension employees have raised questions about the way data is being collected and shared, both from a technological and ethical perspective, according to the people familiar with the project. But privacy experts said it appeared to be permissible under federal law. That law, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, generally allows hospitals to share data with business partners without telling patients, as long as the information is used only to help the covered entity carry out its healthcare functions. Google, in this case, is using the data in part to design new software underpinned by advanced artificial intelligence and machine learning that zeroes in on individual patients to suggest changes to their care. Staffers across Alphabet, Google's parent, have access to the patient information, internal documents show, including some employees of Google Brain, a research science division credited with some of the company's biggest breakthroughs. Google Cloud president said the company's goal for healthcare is centered on, quote, ultimately improving outcomes, reducing costs, and saving lives. So one question immediately arises, and that is, do you really want Google to be prescribing your medical care? This seems to be the direction that they're taking, using artificial intelligence to recommend your treatment, which will then be passed back to the hospital for some doctor or some staffer to say, well, this is what the algorithm says we should do for you. I'm not sure anyone is ready for this type of dystopian future, but Google is bringing it to us as fast as they can. And the fact that Google now has the complete health records of tens of millions of people should concern anyone that's been tracking Google for very long. Whatever plans that Google has for controlling the world, it's well on its way. The last story today is of great concern, and I'll spend a little bit of extra time breaking it down for you. The title of this story is Snitch You. Don't say, quote, only women can have abortions. This is a crazy story. And undoubtedly, you've heard other stories of a similar nature where you just shake your head and wonder, where are people coming from? Well, this happened at Iowa State University. And I wrote at the top of this article, if the logical end of progressivism is total insanity, then we're very close to or at the end on most college campuses. The United Nations uses its Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, to incessantly push for, quote, inclusiveness and equality for every person everywhere, close quote. Be careful what you wish for. As documented in Technocracy Rising, the Trojan horse of globalization, progressivism is part of the root of technocracy and transhumanism. In the latter stages, progressivism leads to mental instability, breaks with reality, and other severe emotional problems. And here's the text of the story, and then we'll discuss it a bit more. In an Iowa State University classroom recently, students began discussing the touchy issues of abortion and birth control when a student spoke up and declared those topics to be women's issues. Yet one dissatisfied student took to the university's campus climate reporting website to complain that the discussion, which took place in September, was offensive to the trans community. According to the student, declaring abortion and birth control women-centric issues erases trans men and people who are non-binary who get abortions and/or use birth control. The student then reported the professor to administration, complaining, quote, there was no pushback by the professor to get students to be more inclusive and instead repeated this erasure. This report was one of 49 filed with Iowa State's campus climate staff over the last year, obtained last week by the College Fix through a Public Records Act request. The names of the individuals involved were redacted by the university to protect their identities. The Iowa State Climate Program, by the way, that has nothing to do with climate change. That's the climate of social affairs on campus. But it's similar to so-called bias response teams at other universities, and it aims to, quote, provide support for those who report being impacted by hate, intolerance, or bias on campus. According to the university's website, the climate team may ask those named in complaints to engage in constructive dialogue, although officials insist there are no disciplinary sanctions imposed. Iowa State spokeswoman Angela Hunt told the College Fix that information collected from the website is shared with campus partners who follow protocols for their unit. Hunt said the campus climate reporting process has been in effect since 2017 and noted the campus climate response team includes members from the Office of Equal Opportunity, Diversity and Inclusion, Dean of Students Office, Department of Residence, ISU Police Department, Office of the Senior Vice President and Provost, University Council, University Human Resources, and Strategic Relations and Communications. Reports through this website are referred to the appropriate partner who will determine what, if any, next steps will be taken by their administrative unit, Hunt said in an email to the Fix. In the past year, the climate reporting system, which allows students and faculty members to anonymously report each other, has been used frequently by transgender activists to inform on professors and other college institutions. Of the 49 reports, about 20% dealt with issues such as, quote, trans erasure or misgendering. In August 2018, a student reported having a discussion with their music professor about gender and pronouns, but complained the professor was still having problems with misgendering. Today was worse, the student wrote, in that I corrected him twice, and on the second time he said, he, she, it, whatever. A week later, a student reported another professor for joking that students should be able to tell an individual's sex just by looking at them. He then made a face expressing uneasiness, the student wrote. In another complaint, a student last fall visited Thielen Psychiatric Services on campus, and while filling out the paperwork, noticed only women were asked when they had their last menstrual cycle. Quote, women are not the only people who have menstrual cycles, the student wrote. Trans men can have menstrual cycles, as can non-binary people, etc. The student was concerned that merely seeing the question could be damaging to the trans individual, saying it could, quote, trigger dysphoria in people seeking health services at Thielen. And in December, a transgender student changed their name in the school computer system, only to later find out the computer switched it back to their dead name. Quote, this is a possibly dangerous situation for me, since I am a forestry major and my program is more conservative, the student wrote. Seeing or hearing the name causing me intense mental grief, and I literally cannot take it, close quote. This article is very sad. It makes you shake your head for sure. But this is the ultimate result of what history has called progressivism. There will come a time, thanks to progressivism, when the system hits a brick wall and mental disconnect sets in. And this is what's happening. I lay it at the feet of progressivism, and I'm going to share a couple of things about progressivism with you so that you can understand. And just to take care of any charges of bias pulling from sources that are hostile towards this, I'll pull this information from Wikipedia. Most people will agree, wrongly so, but they will agree that Wikipedia is the fountain of knowledge in this century. Well, nevertheless, this article is pretty good, and I've checked it against some other sources, and it's not bad. But here's what it says on progressivism. Progressivism is the support for or advocacy of social reform. As a philosophy, it is based on the idea of progress, which asserts that advancements in science, technology, economic development, and social organization are vital to the improvement of the human condition. This is it in a nutshell. We see this in transhumanism, for instance, when transhumans talk about improving the human condition, in other words, applying science to achieve immortality and to eradicate some of the darker elements of human existence, like anger and violence. The meanings of progressivism have varied over time and from different perspectives. Progressivism is highly significant during the Age of Enlightenment in Europe, out of the belief that Europe was demonstrating that societies could progress in civility from uncivilized conditions to civilization through strengthening the basis of empirical knowledge as the foundation of society. Figures of the Enlightenment believed that progress had universal application to all societies and that these ideas would spread across the world from Europe. In the modern era, a movement that identifies as progressive is a social or political movement that aims to represent the interest of ordinary people through political change and the support of government actions. In the 21st century, those who identify as progressive may do so for a variety of reasons. For example, to favor public policy that reduces or ameliorates the handful of effects of economic inequality, as well as systemic discrimination, to avoid for environmentally conscious policies, as well as for social safety nets and rights of workers, to oppose the negative externalities inflicted on the environment and society by monopolies or corporate influence on the democratic process. The unifying theme is to call attention to the negative impacts of current institutions or ways of doing things, and to advocate for progress, that is, for positive change, as defined by any of several standards, such as expansion of democracy, increased social or economic equality, improved well-being of a population, etc. Indeed, there's a long history of the philosophy of progressivism. It can be traced back through the philosopher Immanuel Kant, as well as John Stuart Mill. Many things have been written about these over the century, but probably one of the most cynical essays on progressivism was written by Aldous Huxley, whose famous work, of course, was Brave New World, that was produced in 1932. In his later novel, called Ape and Essence, written in 1948, he wrote this about progress, and this is a direct quote from his book. The theory that you can get something for nothing, The theory that you can gain in one field without paying for your gain in another. The theory that you alone understand the meaning of history. The theory that you know what's going to happen 50 years from now. The theory that, in the teeth of all experience, you can foresee all the consequences of your present actions. The theory that utopia lies just ahead, and that, since ideal ends justify the most abominable means, it is your privilege and duty to rob, swindle, torture, enslave, and murder all those who, in your opinion, which is, by definition, infallible, obstruct the onward march to the earthly paradise. Remember the phrase of Karl Marx's, "Force is the midwife of progress." He might have added, but of course, Belial didn't want to let the cat out of the bag at that early stage of the proceedings, that progress is the midwife of force, doubly the midwife. For the fact of technological progress provides people with the instruments of ever more indiscriminate destruction, while the myth of political and moral progress serves as the excuse for using those means to the very limit. I tell you, my dear sir, an undevout historian is mad. The longer you study modern history, the more evidence you find of Belial's guiding hand. And of course, Huxley's reference to Belial here is the devil or evil. So progressivism has always been closely related to the concept of utopia. That is, the people who adopt a progressive stance are hoping that utopia is just around the corner. And of course, one of the big problems is it's always just around the corner. It never arrives. Of course, it can't arrive because it's not there, but they don't know that. And so whatever somebody's ideal of utopia is, whether it be economic or political or social or sexual, it's always just around the corner. Progressivism eventually runs out of things to be progressive about. Improving the human condition, if possible at all, would take a long period of time. So when progressives run out of things to do in the short term, waiting for those other changes to take place, they simply have to dream up new things, put the label of progressive on top of them, and say, this is what we're going to do to change the human condition. So the things that are currently surfacing, like this article, "Don't Say Only Women Can Have Abortions," this is simply an expression of people who have run out of things to say and do that would demonstrate how great their progressive efforts are. So they simply invent something, claim it is true, and then try to browbeat everybody else into believing their progress. Well, there might be some Darwinianism wrapped into this, I suppose, because if Darwin was correct, which I do not believe he was, but if he was, it would take an awfully long time before men could have abortions as women. But if people only make that claim today, that someone other than a woman can have an abortion, that trans males can have menstrual cycles, well, to them, this is perfectly normal. To everybody else, they're still scratching their head. But it's written off in the name of progress, but it has no basis in fact. This condition is spreading, not only in America, but around the world. And it's not only in this area. We see the same kind of mentality taking place with climate change protests around the world, where people are claiming that the world is going to be completely destroyed in 12 years. Well, this isn't going to happen. It hasn't happened so far, and it's been predicted now for several decades that destruction is just around the corner. It hasn't happened and it won't. But to these progressives who claim that it will, to them it's very real. To them it's very personal. To them it's progress. They're changing the social condition. They're changing the human condition, and they can't see themselves as wrong. Well, this is definitely food for thought about the state of the world. Progressivism, in the end, in any form that it takes, always ends up hitting a brick wall in the end. And when more natural things cannot be pointed to as progress, then people just tend to start to invent things. Let's just cook up some new ideas for progress. We'll call it progress, and we'll make a cause out of it, and we'll move ahead. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends.